Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Hey, I am doing well. It's always good to talk to you. We have a couple of incidents locally that we ought to talk a little bit about. I know one of them was this, I guess, a shootout that happened at 9 Mile and Klondike at the gas station, some motorcyclists and somebody else.
Yeah, that was crazy. It happened on, Sunday evening. We had a situation where we had about six to seven people on a motorcycle had stopped to fuel their motorcycles. They appear to be from out of town. We believe they're maybe from Mississippi, either passing through from South Florida, Mississippi, or coming back the other way. When a gentleman in a white Honda pulled up, got into a physical altercation with him initially, and there was a fight, and then he left and got back into his car, left the gas station only to return a minute or so later, and ultimately, as was reported, he pulled out a gun and started shooting at some of the individuals on the motorcycle, two of which, at least two of them that I saw, returned fire with weapons that they had in their possession. And then he left only to come back. So he came back three total times, this individual in a white car, and it does not appear to be anyone suffering life-threatening injuries. We're still trying to determine exactly who they are. We do have some leads, and we're following up on those leads.
So, wow. First of all, wow. I mean, I knew part of the story. I didn't know all of that. Who was hit? Who was wounded in the process?
We don't have the information. No one.
Okay.
No one that were on the motorcycles appeared to be hit because, again, through the surveillance video, no one looks to be hit. Now,
okay.
We're still trying to determine whether who the suspect in the white car was and whether he was hit or not. We're still working on that. We feel pretty confident we'll have him identified shortly, and then we'll put, to try to figure out exactly what took place and figure out a motive.
Wow. Okay. So obviously, since we don't know who they are yet, the question of, legal possession of the guns is still an open one. But certainly, the from what we know so far, the person who initiated the shooting in the white Honda, he would be in violation of the law. Clearly, it sounds like the guys on motorcycles, as long as they were legally in possession of guns, would have been within their right to self-defense at that point, based on what you've told me. Is that kind of how you guys read it?
Yeah, based on the surveillance footage that we've seen. Now, we don't know what happened before then.
Sure.
But the individuals that are on motorcycles were just standing there at the gas station, fueling their motorcycles up. When this guy comes up, and then again, there is a physical altercation, but then the white car leaves, only to come back apparently with a firearm and start using it. So
okay.
I would agree with your assessment, although again, it's so early in the investigation, I hate to say that anyone's in the clear at this time, except to say that it was just an eventful afternoon at the Shell station.
Wow, and obviously very good news that no bystanders were hurt in the process. One of the things I think I had, when I hear motorcycle and I hear group of motorcyclists, I think, some people have in the back of their head that's always going to be troublemakers, gangs, white gang, maybe white supremacist type thing. Do we know anything about race of the people involved? Is there anything like that maybe just can clarify for people?
Yeah, the suspect appears to be a black male, and everyone on the motorcycles are black males. There are some black females that are around there as well, so they're clearly traveling in a group. But again, all they were doing was pulled in and fueling their motorcycles, going inside, looks like getting snacks. So the quick answer to your question is the individuals that were on the motorcycles are African-American, and the suspect in the white car was African-American as well.
Okay. Not that that makes anything any better. I mean, it's, just that's the kind of thing I know people tend to kind of think, and I wanted to, find out if that might be relevant. There was also, was there a shooting on the beach? Is that also true?
Last Wednesday, in the evening, at the Surf and Sand Hotel, we got a report of an individual, an armed individual, in a domestic violence type situation. When we get there, we notice, and again, anytime we're involved, an officer involved shooting, we ask the Florida Department of Law Enforcement to investigate. So I can't get into too many details, but I can let you know what's already been reported. And that is that when we get there, we noticed that the suspect did have a firearm in his waistband. So he was indeed armed, which is what the report was. And whenever we gave him directions, he, instead of obeying those directions, he reached for that weapon, forcing our deputy to shoot at him.
Okay. So, and that was while I was on vacation, so that's why I wasn't as familiar with that one. But this is obviously FDLE is investigating, and so you can't probably talk about it too much. But it sounds, you know, I mean, from the little information you've given, I understand kind of where we're at this point, but that's all you can really say, I assume, at this point. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, all I can say is you can't pull a weapon on a deputy. That's,
right.
That's that simple.
Right, very good. Sheriff, the story you just mentioned last week out at Pensacola Beach, it reminded me of something that I've been wanting to ask you, and it's a question I don't really know the answer to, but so we know the logistical challenges of your deputies operating out on the beach with the bridge out. I mean, that's a long way around back to home base, so to speak. But this, I assume, is especially problematic when you've got to arrest somebody and take them to jail, because that's now, what would have otherwise been maybe an hour, maybe an hour and a half commitment is now maybe a 4 or 5 hour commitment. How does that play into the choice about making arrests, and how does that logistically work for your deputies stationed at the beach?
Yeah, that's a great question. We've been asked that a bit. We're like anyone else, anyone that lives on the beach and works in town or vice versa. We have to make that trek all the way around. We do have some deputies that live in Pensacola Beach, and some that even live in the Gulf Breeze area. So and that's why they work at Pensacola Beach anyways, because it's close to their
sure.
home. So that works out to our advantage. But most of them have to make that drive. It's going to take a little bit longer. I can't say that it would factor into whether we arrest somebody. That's just part of the deal. If you violate the law, if you have to go to jail, we understand it's going to take a little while to get there. But we're doing a service for Escambia County, and if an individual needs to go to jail to answer to the crimes that he's been charged with, then that's going to take place.
I just wonder. It made me think about whether even something like a halfway station at the Santa Rosa Jail or something would make sense. I'm just thinking about it's literally a 4 to 5 hour commitment by the time you include the process of booking in. And so if you're talking about arresting spring breakers and things like that, that's where my head was at. So what a mess, man. In addition to what we already know is the mess all the time. Hey, you guys were also involved in the torch run, right?
Yeah, yesterday morning we had about 30 of our employees. We had our whole SWAT team out there. All of our cadets were participating, some of our crime scene personnel. I was out there in the morning, but I wasn't able to run because, I was committed to do some other things. But they do this for the Special Olympics, and we've done this every year. We did this when I was the police chief down at the Pensacola Police Department, and it's just a great reason to get out and to raise money. And then when I'm not sure what their plans are because of COVID, but when you have an opportunity, if you have an opportunity to see these Olympians, these special Olympians compete and the looks on their face and just how competitive and really how talented they are, it'll do your heart good. And we're just proud to be a part of it, to do just a small piece and help them raise money so that they can compete in this year and future years' Special Olympics.
Oh, I love it. Hey, one last quick thing, Sheriff. I said last question, but I lied to you. I know you saw the news about this shooting at the King Soopers, the grocery store out in Boulder yesterday. Terrible tragedy. A police officer was killed who was responding to the scene. I think we've got it's 9 maybe other people who were also killed, and they apprehended the suspect. I know we're totally out of time, and it's unfair to ask you, but, I see something like that, and I think of all the conversations that we have had about, get your permit, get your gun, be prepared, train, be ready. It doesn't mean that nobody was there to do that, but it's just you never know, right? You never know what can happen, and you always got to be thinking defensively in these situations.
Well, we've had our situations here in Escambia County with a terrorist event. We've had a couple shootings inside, some grocery stores. We had one at the Grocery Advantage. We don't want people to just be constantly concerned and worried and hiding out. But I do think, as you mentioned, it's wise for someone to take stock in their own protection. And whether they want to carry a concealed weapon or not, at least have a plan, and talk about that plan with your family. Because while we don't anticipate anything terrible happening, we understand that is a possibility. And we also understand that things have happened. It's just an unfortunate world that we live in, and I think protection and of course, from a law enforcement perspective, the protection of the citizens is always number one priority.
Absolutely. And look, we had a police officer responding to the scene who wound up losing his life in the process. So just because you have a gun in training, it doesn't guarantee, a right outcome. Be under no illusions. But it's just, the possibility of being better prepared for it, and a horrible day for law enforcement in Boulder. Chip Simmons, Sheriff in Escambia County. Sheriff, thank you so much for the time. Thanks, as always, to your men and women who keep us safe. We appreciate the work, sir.
You bet. Y'all take care.